Howdy neighbors, welcome to another Ag Perspectives podcast. Pleased to be along with you today, and we're very happy to have along with us from South Dakota, Kurt Pate. Well known for some of his techniques that he tries to share with other ranchers about low-stress cattle handling. He calls it a whole mindset of dealing with your cattle herd. We had the opportunity to visit with him as he came into Oklahoma for some training sessions being sponsored by the Oklahoma Beef Council. Kurt, let's talk a little bit about maybe, first of all, about your background, your involvement with the ranching industry. Tell us a little bit about your current operation, and are you actually involved in running cattle?
We do run cattle. I have a grazing operation, a custom grazing operation, and then I have my daughter and I are partners in a buck and bull business. So we handle lots of different kinds of cattle, some gentle, some not so gentle. So,
how'd you get involved with this idea of getting out and talking to the cattle producers about how to handle cattle?
Well, I started out in the horse world, and everybody, I was doing a lot of colt starting demonstrations, and everybody thinks of me as a horse guy, but I'm not a horse guy. I'm a cattle guy that uses horses. And I believe in the, the ranching background, the lifestyle, but I'm a horseback guy that uses the horse for cattle, and that's so I always wanted to have more cattle handling stuff involved in the public demonstrations, and I just kind of slowly evolved into some ranch roping stuff and then some cattle handling, and it just really blossomed from there.
I know there's two or three terms that kind of jumped out at me as I looked at some of the materials that you've got, and one of them is this idea that you attempt to show cattle producers how to take advantage of some of the natural instincts of our cattle.
A lot of people call this stuff low-stress livestock handling, and that's a kind of a pretty term and a nice term, but it doesn't really do anything for me. I think effective stockmanship is what I try to call it. And to be effective, you have to be good and get things done and do things in a way that doesn't create a lot of turmoil with our customers or the cattle or anybody. So what we have to do is figure out the principles of what makes it work. And, there are certain things you can do that make cattle work well, and there are certain things you do that make cattle where they don't work as well. And that's what I try to get people to understand, is bring out the good points and kind of lose the bad points.
Give us a couple of examples of those.
Yep, so understanding the cattle's pressure zones and how much pressure to put on, what angle to put the pressure on, when to take the pressure off, and what angle to take the pressure off at. What kind of things do you use to put pressure on? And a lot of people use a lot of noise, which is proven to be pretty ineffective. Sometimes it's good, but more times it's bad. Touch, hitting, shocking, whatever. Those are all negative things. And we can teach animals and work them just from presence, from the way they see us and how we approach them.
So if you get into that zone, then they start moving.
That's right, the zone. And everybody kind of knows about balance point and flight zone, but I kind of change that up a little bit with my approach. Instead of calling it the flight zone, which is a negative term, I call it the pressure zone, and knowing how much pressure and where to put that pressure. And the balance point, I change that to the focus point. And what that does is means I try to understand how the cow sees me, how the eye works of the cow, and where to place myself that the animal doesn't turn its head wrong, moves away straight, all these different kind of things.
When you start talking with cattle producers, you talk very much about facilities. So are there certain things that maybe can be done that won't cost an arm and a leg, but can improve the handling environment?
Sure, and facilities are very, very important. Having good facilities that's a responsible thing to do. But how much facilities you can have and still be profitable is important too. So the higher our level of stockmanship becomes, the less we depend on facilities. I think you need an absolutely good chute, whether it be a hydraulic or a good manual chute, and a good lead up and facilities working into the chute. After that, everything's a bonus. If you're handy enough and your cattle work properly, I sometimes think it's better to have an electric fence set up where you can't put any pressure on those animals out there in the pens. You got to rely on skill. But then once you get them up into that area where the animals are going to be restrained and they're going to have quite a bit of pressure put on, we should have that as safe an environment for the animals and the working people at that time.
What does a good lead-up type facility look like, you think?
Oh, it can be a circular tub. or you know, a real popular thing is a bud box right now. Whatever. If your cattle are working right, it's just like a horse. If you have a horse that works right, you could ride him off a cliff if you asked him to. You would never ask him to do that, but that's what he should feel like underneath you. If your cattle are working right and you've got them trained properly, you can drive them in a truck, you can drive them anywhere. And so then the facilities to get them up there are not so bad. And you know, I've seen some awful sad setups where people knew how to work and they got by with it.
Right. You talk about the fact that, you know, it sounds like there needs to be a certain amount of rapport that a cattle producer needs to develop with his herd.
Yeah, I think we need to start thinking of ourselves not as cattle men, but with our stockmanship, we need to think about training cattle to work just like we think about training horses to work for us. So the cow-calf producer, he's kind of like the colt starter. He gets these cattle where they understand pressure, and they understand that there is a release of pressure, and then when the stalker or the backgrounder gets them, they add to the training, and by the time that animal gets to the feed yard, he is fully trained and knows how to work through every situation. Then we don't have that stress added on with all the other stresses that come with a big, huge change in an animal's life when they get with all the things that a feed yard would provide.
I guess some of the research out there shows that an animal that is not stressed actually will yield better and eat better.
Oh, that's any old-timer will tell you that. It doesn't have to be research. We all know that, but it's nice to have the research to back it up. So, and we're finding things like exercising animals. We're going out and getting pens out of cattle out of the pens and doing a little exercise with them, which also increases gain and all the things that we're talking about.
How do you go about that?
You can either take them out of the pen and move them up and down the drover's alley. I've even heard some people are working them through the chutes to exercise them and exercise not only their body but their mind. And so those cattle get awful bored in the pen. They need to move out. That's the only thing that really changes. When an animal gets from out in a pasture, think about this. An animal comes from a pasture. He probably gets looked at once or twice a year. And they survive, and they do pretty well. We put them in a feed yard with the best nutrition, the best facilities. Everything's the best, yet the cattle have to be looked at daily. The only thing I see missing is mental stimulation and exercise. And I think if we add those things, we're going to have a lot better deal in our feed yards.
Is that one of the rationales for things like, you know, mounds of dirt built up so the animals can play king of the hill, these type of things?
Absolutely. Those cattle need to have something to do in their little life there. And if they, you know, they provide some of themselves. But if the cattle aren't happy, and we are learning how to see, when cattle will run and buck and play and are glad to see the pen rider come in or glad to see the run up to the feed bunk, that means cattle are happy. And if they aren't happy, we've got to change something to get them happy. And sometimes the mound will do that, sometimes taking them out in the alley. Sometimes I've even had some smaller feed yards, they take them out in the pasture and actually take them for a walk.
Back to the cow-calf guys, type of guys you'll probably be talking to tonight, maybe some stalker guys. What one or two things could they do, you know, coming away from a session like this that will help them do a better job with their herd?
Well, prepare the cattle. Learn from the time you first touch that baby calf. Say you're going to put a tag in a calf's ear. That's kind of an early learning period in that calf's life. The way you go about that, and if you spend an extra 10, 15 seconds or a couple of minutes with each calf, teaching him how to take pressure, teach him how to walk off straight. When he struggles, hold him down. Just think of that early first couple of days. Everything is making a big influence in that calf. 6 months later, when you put that calf in the squeeze chute for the first time, and he's learned that when you put pressure on, and if he relaxes, you'll take the pressure off, he might not fight that squeeze chute at all. So there's little things we can do to get these animals just to change their opinions about the human just a little bit that will carry on and make it a lot better deal for the calf, for the human, and for the consumer.
We've got guys out there that outside the industry looking in that are pretty critical these days about beef cattle industry, animal agriculture in general. How does this type of philosophy help us respond to the HSUS types of the world?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if we can reason with everybody in the world. All I know is only thing I can do is change myself. And so the more I learn how to better treat animals, not only for profit, but just because when I do it, I feel really good. You know, it's like they say, it's the right thing to do. So I have spent so much time worrying about HSUS and PETA and all these folks, and I've really lost quite a bit of sleep about it. And I'm not so sure that they really care as much about animals as they do money. I don't know. I know there's a lot of them that really do. And if they care about animals as much as they say they do, and if I care about animals as much as I think I do, then we should be able to come together and come to some agreement. Because I know I've seen a lot of cattle in feed yards that they are a lot happier in that feed yard than they would be out in the dry desert that we're experiencing in South Dakota, because it's a droughty bugger. And those cattle in the feed yard, they got a lot better deal than some of those cattle out in the range right now. So if we all would work together for the better of the animal, like we truly say we should, I'm all for it. But if we're just doing it for political reasons or monetary reasons, I can't do anything about that.
Right. One last area Kurt wanted to talk about is the BQA programs that we've got going on around the country, Oklahoma here included. How does that type of training fit into this philosophy that you try to instill to other producers?
Yeah, we've decided, Ryan Rupert, who's kind of a real big part of my deal, and he's been a big ally of Ron Gill and myself that do this, we feel that cattle handling is a big part of BQA. It's not just where you place the shots and everything. It's how you get that animal into the chute to place the shots, all the things we do. And it's kind of a holistic model. It's everything works together. And if those cattle, if we can teach these animals from birth, clear on through the feedlot to the last time they go over the scale, BQA and cattle handling, they go hand in hand. So I think it's just a part of it.
Handling cattle the low-stress way. That's Kurt Pate joining us today. Have yourself a great day, everybody. Ron Hayes on the OklahomaFarmReport.com.